Please open in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 110. We'll be taking a look at Psalm 110. We'll read the entire psalm. We've sung it twice, and we'll read it again. It's a helpful reminder for us. But as we take a look at Psalm 110, I mentioned that we will be looking at Christ's offices of prophet, priest, and king. We'll be doing so topically. We'll be taking a look at Westminster Shorter Catechism question 23 to help us as we look at this issue topically. Last week we looked at Westminster Shorter Catechism question and answer 12 with regard to God's covenant with Adam, the covenant of works. And so it's interesting as we look at that last week, and now we look at Christ's ministry of prophet, priest, and king, his offices. It's helpful to keep those both in mind because the contrast and the comparison is quite interesting. And so that'll come up as we move along here. But our main scripture passage that we will be using is Psalm 110. We'll use other scripture passages topically as we move throughout. But hear now God's word, Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head." And I also want to read, before we begin, the Westminster Shorter Catechism question and answer, not because it is in any way equal with God's Word, but it is a summary of God's Word, and we will be using it as a helpful guide as we work through this evening. The question 23 asks this: "What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer?" And the answer: Christ, as our Redeemer, executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. So we will take this up in our time this evening, but let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word once again. We thank you that it is life-giving. And Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in your fullness to us in your word, that we do not need other sources of revelation to know you. We thank you for this. And so, Lord, by your Spirit applying your word into our lives tonight, we pray that we would come to know Christ more and more this evening as we take a look into what your word has to say about him as our perfect Redeemer. Bless us in our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at one time or another, I'm sure you have struggled with a sleepless night. You've had insomnia. And whether it was from drinking too much caffeine or having too much on your mind and being stressed or just being overly excited about what is to come, I'm sure that you've experienced a night where you were laying on your back with your eyes almost glued open, thinking, "I am so tired. I just need to sleep." And try as you might and strive, no matter how hard you can, you couldn't find rest and you couldn't find peace, and you tossed and turned and you had a sleepless night. We struggle with this from time to time. But even though that's annoying when that happens, if you think about those who are not in Christ, that is their spiritual condition at all times. They are without rest and without peace, and strive as they might, they cannot overcome their problem of sin in their own strength. But the exact opposite is true for us who are in Christ, that we have found rest, and we have found peace, and we have been given the solution to our problem of sin in Christ, who is our perfect Redeemer. And as we are presented in the Scriptures with this perfect Redeemer, the only one in whom we can find spiritual rest and comfort, know this: rest in Christ, your perfect Redeemer. It's that simple. Rest in Christ, your perfect Redeemer. We see this perfect Redeemer presented to us in Psalm 110. And we see this perfect Redeemer explained and described in the Westminster Catechism question that we've read. And it begins by saying that Christ is your Redeemer. Let me read that again. It says, Christ as our Redeemer. And then it goes on and explains this. So Christ is your Redeemer. And if you think about the Scriptures and where Christ is exhibited as Redeemer, perhaps more than any other place in God's Word, the book of Isaiah again and again uses the word Redeemer. It talks of God as our Redeemer. And in one place in particular, in Isaiah, going the wrong direction here. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20, it says this: the Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob. And so we see the Redeemer will come to Zion, will come to the church, will come to the people who turn from their transgressions. And this is who we are. We are the people who have repented and turned from our transgressions. We are Zion. We are the people of God. And the Redeemer has come to us and has given us life. But those who don't know this Redeemer, again, are without hope in this life. They're without a sufficient knowledge to know how it is they must be saved. Yes, every single person in this world knows that there is a problem. They know the truth and they suppress it in unrighteousness, as Romans chapter 1 says. But that knowledge in and of itself is insufficient for them to be saved. And those who are without without the Redeemer have no provision for salvation. And they have no ability to subdue themselves to the will of the Father. So there's this problem, but they don't have a solution. And that's like me at my house. As I walk around my house, this new house that we just bought, I can identify a bunch of problems. Well, I need to fix the gas leak there or this electricity problem here. But I don't know how to do it. I just know the problem. You see, this is not sufficient. We not only need to know the problem, we need to know the solution and how to fix it. And Christ as Redeemer is the only solution. He is the only Messiah, the Lord's anointed, the only one who could fulfill all righteousness on your behalf. But as you think about that, Christ as our Redeemer, can every single one of you in this place say, yes, Christ is my Redeemer? And does your spirit testify to that? Not only is He the Redeemer, not only is He the only solution in an abstract concept, but can you say, Jesus is mine? He is my salvation. He has set me free. He is the only solution to my sin. Can you say that? Well, if you are in Christ, you certainly can. And if He is your Redeemer, He had to fulfill specific roles for you, specific offices. And these offices are summarized in the Shorter Catechism question when it says, Christ executes the offices of prophet, priest, and king. These are the roles that Christ had to fulfill on your behalf. And as we think over the Scriptures, now going to Deuteronomy, not before, but now going to Deuteronomy, in chapter 18, we see Moses speaking of a prophet who was to come. And in Deuteronomy 18:15, it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." And so we hear the prophetic word of our one prophet, Jesus Christ. And then with regard to his office of king, as priest, we see in Psalm 110 that we read in verse 4, it says, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And so he is our priest forever, perpetually. And we do not need priests day by day offering sacrifices for us. He is our one priest who offered himself once for all. And then as far as his office of king, not only in Psalm 110 do we see that, but in Psalm 2, that great kingly psalm of Christ, it says that the Lord has set his king to reign. And so the Scriptures testify to Christ fulfilling all of these aspects of Redeemer. And when Christ made the covenant with the Father, when the Father made the covenant with Christ before the foundation of the world that he would come and redeem a people, it was certain that he would fulfill all of these aspects, all of these roles. But we had a prophet, priest, and king before. And he failed in all three of these aspects. You see, Adam was a prophet, priest, and king for the whole human race. And as prophet, he should have said to the serpent, "Get behind me, Satan, and thus saith the Lord." And as priest, he should have eaten the sacramental fruit of the tree of life and not the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as king, he should have crushed the head of the serpent. But you see how Christ has done all of those things perfectly. This is his job description, and there is no possibility of him failing in his job as our Redeemer. Just as a job description of a CEO, he can't have this great job description to lead a company and then go teach woodshop. That wouldn't make sense. That's illogical. You see, a job description is what is required to be fulfilled for that task. And Christ's job description was one of fulfilling prophet, priest, and king. And he has fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. Not one aspect has been failed by him on your behalf. But you see, he has executed these offices in your behalf while on earth, and he continues to do so while in heaven. This is what the Shorter Catechism says. It says, Christ, as our Redeemer, executes these offices both in his estate of humiliation on earth and exaltation in heaven. So first, he fulfills these offices in your behalf while he was on earth. You see, John chapter 1, verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the prophet who came and took on human flesh, the Word of God. He is the Word Himself that He brings. And then also Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for the many. You see, He's the priest who laid down His life for His people. And as King, Luke chapter 19, verse 38 says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." So you see, He is prophet, priest, and king while on earth. This is not some distant, abstract thought that, oh yes, he did this historically, but it has no impact for us today. You see, as prophet, his life was recorded in the Scriptures, and so he ministers to us in his life on earth as it is recorded in the Scriptures to us this day. And as priest, this is the area that we know all too well, right? Well, perhaps not all too well, but we know this very well, that he is the great high priest who himself was the sacrifice, who was the Holy of Holies, who is the Holy of Holies, and who laid himself down for our behalf in time, in space. And as king, after his resurrection, he says in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You see, he is the king who reigns over all. All authority, not one aspect, has not been given to him. So he was prophet, priest, and king while on earth. And again, he does this, he did this on your behalf. It was for you. As you think about elections coming up, every year that elections come up, people run and run for office, and they say, I'm running for the American people, or I'm doing this for the people. And somehow we continue to buy into this lie that they really are doing it for us, and not just because it's a job, and they're doing it for their own motives. But Christ did all of these things, not for his selfish motivations, but for you. And before he went to the cross, did he have to go to pay for his own sins? Did he have to go to earn his own righteousness? No. But when he says, not my will, but thy will be done, he is thinking of his people. He was doing it for you. That he fulfilled all of these offices while on earth for your sake. What a great Redeemer we have. But not only did he do it, he continues to do it in heaven. You see, Psalm 110 says that he has taken his seat. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool. He has been seated. He has been enthroned. He is in heaven now. Just as the Shorter Catechism says that he executes these offices in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. He's exalted and seated now. But just because he's seated doesn't mean he has folded his arms and he's inactive, kicking back and not continuing to be your Redeemer and work out all that is necessary to redeem you and bring you to that last great day. You see, just as you parents, as your children grow up and as they move out, you don't cease being their parents once they move out of the house, right? You're still their parent. The role has changed, but you're still their parent. Well, Christ's role has changed, but he is still prophet, priest, and king. He is still your Redeemer now. And the larger catechism has wonderful things to say about how Christ is your prophet, priest, and king. Now, let me just read a few of them. Just listen to this. Just listen to how magnificent it is what he is doing for you. As prophet, he is revealing the whole will of God to us through his word and spirit. Everything you need to know for life and godliness, he is revealing it to you through his word and his spirit. As priest, it says that he is making continual intercession for us, appearing in our nature before the Father, applying redemption to us, permitting you access to the throne of grace, and silencing all of your accusers. Isn't that beautiful? Even your accusing conscience that continues to say, you're not holy, you're not holy. He silences all of your accusers because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And as King says that he rewards and corrects us for our behaviors, he supports and preserves us in this life, and He restrains and conquers all our enemies, and He works all things together for your good. Isn't this wonderful? But as you hear these things, you might be saying, okay, that's wonderful, but how is it practical? How do we see it maybe more tangibly? And if you think about the church as Christ's instrument here on earth, the church is also expressing itself as Christ exercises His offices of prophet, priest, and king, because the marks of a true church are word, sacrament, and discipline. So think about that. As prophet, His word goes forth in the reading and the preaching here in church. He's exercising His office as prophet. And in the sacraments, His office as priest, as we take the Lord's Supper next week, think about that, that He's exercising His office as priest even now as we feed on His body and His blood, that we see His priestly work expressed in the church and then His kingly work with regard to church discipline. And if you have taken your covenant of membership vows, if you have become a communicant member of this church, you have said that you would give yourself to these things, to the Word, to the reading of the Word, the preaching of the Word, and to the sacraments, and that you are willing to submit to discipline if necessary. And this is how we are submitting to Christ as prophet, priest, and king in a very tangible way as we submit to the church. But since He has done these things and is doing these things, what is our response? Rest. Rest in Him. You see, as we think about the Old Testament types of prophet, priest, and king, and we think about all those men that were raised up, and some women that were raised up to express and foreshadow how Christ would fulfill His offices of prophet, priest, and king. All of these types, all of these men and women who have gone before us have failed in these offices. They were just mere men, just mere people. But Christ is the one who fulfilled these things perfectly, especially in that one great act of redemption on the cross. But as we think about this, we might be saying, okay, this is what we are to believe concerning God, but what duty does God require of us in this? What must we do? How must we respond? And we don't see the answer to it in the shorter catechism until we get to the question of saving faith. And there in the shorter catechism question, we see that saving faith is receiving and resting in this perfect Redeemer that we've been talking about tonight. And that's what our response must be: receive and rest in this Jesus Christ. And as we talk about saving faith in the church, oftentimes the analogy is given about sitting in a chair. If you believe a chair will hold you, you don't really know that you truly believe it until you go sit in the chair. We talk about this imagery, but while that might be a fine illustration, perhaps what would be a more striking illustration of what Christ has done for us as our Redeemer and our response is, think of a screaming, wailing child who's almost inconsolable. And the parent goes over and scoops the child up and rocks the child and silences the child and quiets the child. And the child rests in His loving arms, His capable and sufficient arms. You see, Christ has done all that is necessary for us to rest in Him, to trust in Him. And are you trusting in yourself in any way? Are you looking to your own works to supplement what Jesus has done as your Redeemer in any way? Are you trying to redeem yourself? It's so easy for us to fall back into a works righteousness mentality, and we have to battle against it every day and continue to preach the gospel to ourselves, because Christ is either a perfect Redeemer or He's not. He's either a perfect Redeemer or He needs something added to Him. You see, He has done all that is necessary. He has fulfilled all righteousness on your behalf. And this shorter catechism question presents you with the perfect Redeemer who executes the offices of prophet, priest, and king, both on earth and in glory now. And as you think about that imagery of the screaming, wailing child, think of the exact opposite. Think of a little infant nursing at his mother's breast who is being provided for, and he is content, and he knows that he is safe in his mother's arms. And yes, he has to ask to be fed in his own way, and yes, he has to learn more and more to trust in his mother. But isn't that where we are, saints, in our faith and in our walk? That we are being given all that we need by Christ. We are being provided for. And yes, we have to learn to trust Him more. And yes, we have to ask still that He would provide for us. And we pray that He would give us our daily bread. And we pray that He would forgive us our debts. And we pray that He would deliver us from evil. But think about Christ as prophet, priest, and king. Because as prophet, He has fed you on His word. He has given you your daily bread. And as priest, He has forgiven your debts and will continue to do so. And as king, He will deliver you from all evil and from the evil one on that last great day. He has done all that is necessary for your redemption and is continuing to do so. So rest in Him. Rest in Christ, your perfect Redeemer. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You that You have given us Your only Son, Your precious Son, and that He has endured all things, that He has completed all things for us. May He be glorified, may He be honored, may He be praised. And Lord, as we do continue to ask that You would give us all that we need, we thank You that that prayer is yea and amen in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And we do pray in His name. Amen. By way of response, with regard to this imagery of resting in God, if you would turn to Psalm 62, Selection A, 62A, and there immediately we're confronted with, "My soul finds rest in God alone. He my salvation is." And so as we stand and sing Psalm 62, Selection A, we're doing so acknowledging that we are resting in our perfect Redeemer, that our salvation is in Him alone. And after that, we will have our benediction. And the doxology is Psalm 148, Selection A. But please stand and sing with me Psalm 62, Selection A.